You lost your body and became a spirit. We do not see you.
SP.
I don't see you either. Doctor, you are a little spitfire.
SP.
You are a real bogeyman. I'm a little girl and can't take care of myself. You let go my hands.
Doctor, I'm not holding your hands. I am holding my wife's hands.
SP. I don't like you. Doctor, you are using my wife's body, but only for a short time. You are an ignorant spirit and have been hovering around that little girl and have now been taken away from her.
SP.
She is my little girl. Doctor, let me tell you something. You cannot have a home if you do not behave yourself. Intelligent spirits have brought you here and allowed you to control my wife's body so that we might help you. You will find friendly spirits here who will help you and will show you the wonderful things in the spirit world. The you will find happiness which you cannot find by hovering around the earth plane. But you will have to overcome your temper.
SP.
Will they be mean to me? Everybody shoved me here and there. So many boys teased me, then I got mad and had to fight. Doctor, now you must go with Silver Star, a little Indian girl, who will be the best friend you ever had. Forget your past. Do not be ugly. You will be shown every kindness and nobody will tease you.
SP.
I always got so much whipping. Doctor, the intelligent spirits will help you to progress.
SP.
Why, here comes Happy Daisy.
Spirit.
Doctor, does she look as if she would scold you?
SP.
No. The boys used to call me Redhead and Freckles, and I used to go for them. Could I go with that pretty lady standing there?
Doctor, yes, and you will not have any more fire or sparks.
SP. You are sure you are not telling stories? Happy Daisy says for me to go with her and she will take me to a nice home. Will that be heaven? She says I must learn to do good and be good, and after I learn I can come back and help this little girl, and I'm going to help her in school too. Mrs. G. Do you like arithmetic?
SP.
I don't like school at all. Now I will go. They say I am going to school, but I don't like school. Doctor, you will go to a different school, the school of life.
SP.
Can't I have blue eyes and light curly hair? Can I have it? I want to be beautiful. Doctor, you can become beautiful only as you help others. Think beautiful thoughts and do kind acts and you will be beautiful. You will have beauty of spirit. Now go with these friends, and after you have learned how to be of service you can help little R. Think yourself with the others and you will be there. Determined to begin a new life.
SP.
I'm going to help this little girl. Goodbye. A week after the interview with Lily, another homeless spirit wanderer came to the circle, a quaint, investigative philosopher who had been drawn into the aura of Mrs. G, the mother of R. G. This spirit was an orphan who had known Mrs. G. In childhood, she had at that time developed a strong affection for her and this love had attracted the spirit to Mrs. G, although she had not recognized in the grown woman the friend of her childhood. Experience, August 9, 1922. Spirit, Laughing Ella. Patient, Mrs. G. Psychic, Mrs. Wickland. Doctor, why don't you join in the singing? Spirit, I never saw these people before, so why should I join in the singing? Doctor, where did you come from?
SP.
I don't know. Doctor, we should like to know more about you. Isn't it strange that you should be here?
SP.
I don't know anything about it. I shall have to find out. Doctor, tell us who you are and what your name is.
SP.
Somebody said if I came here I would find a home. Doctor, you certainly will.
SP.
I have not had a home for a long time. Doctor, what have you been doing?
SP.
Walking around everywhere and sleeping where I could put my head. Doctor, are you a girl, a man, a woman or a boy?
SP.
Don't you know I am a girl? Doctor, how old are you?
SP.
Probably, but I'm not sure, but I think I am 16 or 17. Doctor, where were you staying?
SP.
I don't know. Doctor tried to think,
Perhaps you can remember. SP. I have been to so many places, I should like to have a home. Doctor, have you no father and mother? SP. Number Doctor, where did you stay when you were little? SP. I always stayed in a big place where there were many children. We were all together, we used to fight and carry on all the time. I don't think I ever had a mother. I think I was born in that big place. I was there as long as I can remember anything. It was a big place, with lots of boys and girls. Some were good and some bad, all kinds. I did everything I could do. I did what they told me to do, and they kept me doing things all the time. I kept on working like machinery. They said, "Now, Ella, you go there, and Ella, you go there," and after a little while, it was Ella everywhere. I had to fix so many little boys and girls that I think I was a mother to them all. Doctor, were they fond of you? SP. They all came around me and I had to do things for them. That was my work and I helped them all I could. And it wasn't always easy to bathe and dress a dozen little children. They were very noisy, so I said for them to keep quiet. I got mad sometimes. You know, I tried to do my very best, but when they stepped on my toes I got mad. Doctor, how long ago was that? SP. I don't think it's so long ago. You know, I lost my way. I went out walking one time and I couldn't find my way back. Doctor, what happened after that? SP. Nothing has happened. I have been walking to find that home again. Doctor, did you have an accident? SP. No. But I shall have to keep on walking until I find that home. Doctor, do you want to understand why you have been walking and have no home? SP. Somebody said if I came here I would have a home, and they pushed me in, and before I knew anything, I was sitting here and you were singing. I was crying, and a girl said you had helped her, and if I came here I would get happy. When I walked it was half dark and half light. I have been trying to find a home. When I was with those children I had to work hard, but it's better to have them than to have nothing to do. I would rather have my children. Doctor, were they orphans like yourself? SP. They thought I was not right in my mind, but I was as good as any of them. Doctor, you are talking to us but we cannot see you. I can see my wife but not you. SP. Your wife. For land's sake alive. Laughing heartily, you know, I always like to laugh, and when all the children began to cry I started to laugh, and I laughed and laughed until I got them still. That was the only way I knew to get them all still when they were crying. Then they got good-natured again. If you laugh hard when somebody cries, they will stop crying and begin to laugh. Sometimes they called me Laughing Ella. Doctor, where did you get this ring? SP. I never had a ring before. Greatly pleased and laughing again. Doctor, this is not your hand, and this is not your body. SP. What are you talking about? Laughing. Doctor, it may seem foolish to you, but it is the truth. Have you ever heard that he who laughs last, laughs best? Ask these people whose body this is. SP. To audience, is this my body? Ans. No, it is not. SP. Yes, it is. Doctor, this body belongs to Mrs. Wickland. SP. Mrs. Wickland. Laughing. Doctor, you are laughing at your own ignorance. You are temporarily controlling Mrs. Wickland's body. SP. I never heard such funny talk. Doctor, what I am telling you is not so foolish as it sounds. You lost your physical body. Probably you were sick. You have awakened to a new condition of life. SP. How could I awaken if I had no body? Doctor, you have a spirit body. SP. When you say I have lost my body, do you mean I am dead? Doctor, to the world, yes. The world is ignorant of the facts. When a person loses his physical body, people say he is dead. That is wrong. The spirit has only left the body. The spirit is the real person, the body is merely the house. Nobody dies, it only seems so. SP. Yes, they do. I have seen dead people. I knew a little girl that died and she went to heaven. Doctor, you have only seen dead bodies. You can only stay here a short time, then you will have to leave. SP. Where will I go?
Doctor, to the spirit world.
SP. Say, I am a real lady. I have a necklace round my neck.
Doctor, that belongs to my wife. You are an invisible spirit and have been wandering in outer darkness. If you want a home, you can have one.
SP. Do you mean heaven?
Doctor, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you.
SP. Jesus died for our sins, and if we are good, when we die we will go to heaven and be with the angels.
We prayed all the time in the home. Seeing little R.G. sitting beside her mother, I like that little girl over there. I have seen her before.
Mrs. G. Do you know Lily? She is a spirit who was here last week.
S.P. To R.G., you were very naughty the other day when we had company.
What made you so naughty?
Mrs. G. That other girl, Lily, made her behave badly.
S.P.
That other girl was awfully mean. I felt like spanking her. When she came near, that little girl, R.G., changed faces.
Doctor, she was a spirit and was influencing this little girl.
You are also a spirit and are talking through my wife's body. In just that way the spirit of that girl acted through this child.
S.P.
Somebody told me to come in here and I would find a home, and that I had a mission to do.
What does that mean?
Doctor, probably you can protect this little girl.
S.P.
They say I am going to be a watcher, that I must see that nobody gets hold of her. I don't know what they mean.
Doctor, that will all be explained to you.
Listen to a little Indian girl whom you will find here. She will take you to a home.
S.P.
Will they like me?
In that big home all the children liked me because I made them laugh. They say I must stay around this little girl and protect her from influences.
Doctor, this means spirit influences.
S.P.
I am going to look into that business.
Doctor, you will need to have understanding first.
Do you see others here?
S.P.
I see many girls jumping around and feeling happy. There is a nice lady here and she says her name is Pretty Girl. She's awfully pretty.
There's a young girl and she says I can come with her. She says she brought me here.
They say I always tried to do everything I could to help. Now they are going to take care of me.
Sometimes when I got a whipping, I thought, well, maybe I needed it.
I cried for a few minutes and then I went into my little corner, and said, now, Ella, you were naughty and you needed that spanking.
I thought about it for a while, then I began to laugh, and I never felt the spanking at all.
When you feel good inside from laughing, you can't feel things on the outside.
You just try it.
Doctor, now you must go with these friends.
S.P. They say when I get understanding I am going to be a little helper.
To R.G. Don't forget, when you feel naughty, just laugh and then you won't be naughty.
When I get to be nurse girl for that little girl, I won't let anyone in. I will see that they stay out. I will show you.
Doctor, where did you live?
S.P.
In Kansas.
Mrs. G.
Had formerly lived in Kansas. I had to dress 10 or 12 of the children, and wash them and put them to bed.
Some went to school and some went to play.
Mrs. G.
What town did you live in?
S.P.
Why, near H.
Verified later.
Mrs. G.
Do you remember the name K?
Superintendent of orphanage at H.
S.P.
Why, yes.
Mrs. G.
Do you know M?
Assistant matron, in charge of girls.
S.P.
She was in another room. There were some naughty girls in M.S. room. Sometimes even the matron could not control some of the girls, even when she spanked them, so I had to go to them.
You know spanking isn't good all the time.
When the matron spanked the little ones and they cried, I would go to them after she had gone and make them laugh.
A good laugh always made them forget the spanking.
Mrs. G.
Do you remember seeing me when I was a little girl?
S.P. Staring, then excited, yes. Why yes, I remember you now. But you were not there all the time. Mrs. G. Came to the orphanage occasionally as a visitor, you used to come and then go away. You always had such pretty hair, and you used to have such pretty dresses. Do you remember you had a parasol and walked around like a big lady? Mrs. G. Do you remember the time I fell into the water? S.P. Oh my, yes, and everybody was so excited, and you got wringing wet, and your grandmother scolded you. I took a liking to you. The time you went into the water I felt so sorry for you. You spoiled your nice dress. That was a long, long time ago. Now I remember lots of things. My eyes seem to open. I took an awful cold and I got sore throat, and then I remember I went to sleep. I always liked you, and now I've found you again. I am going to help, and stop walking to find that home. Mrs. G. I am grown now and married, and this little girl is my child. Spirits have been bothering her for some time. S.P. I will help you. I have found you and we will be together again. Silver Star, the little Indian girl, says I must learn to protect your little girl. Doctor, the first thing you must do is to go to the spirit world and learn about your new conditions, then you will understand how to help someone else. S.P. I will do all I can. Now I will say good night, but I will come again. Don't forget Laughing Ella. Chapter 11. Materialism and Indifference. The binding influence of skepticism, of mental apathy and unconcern regarding the higher life is so powerful after transition that many are held in a condition of helpless despair, darkness, bewilderment and rebellion, often clinging to mortals as their only means of expression. Some years ago a friend of ours, Mrs. F. W., was living in New York, very happily married and leading an active, normal life. She had an understanding of the higher laws of life, but her husband, although devoted to her, maintained the viewpoint of materialist and fatalist. Believing in no form of religion, Mr. F. W. was convinced that death ended all, and had often declared that if his wife should pass away he would commit suicide, and frequently urged her to promise that if he passed away first she would take her life, but to this she would not consent. After a brief illness this gentleman suddenly passed away, but his wife could still see him very distinctly, especially at night when he repeatedly awakened her, frightening her so that she could not sleep. Unconscious of his true condition, he still sensed that something strange had occurred, and wishing to remove the barrier which separated him from his wife, he constantly urged her to come to him, calling insistently, "Kill yourself, you must come to me. I want you, and I will finally get you, so kill yourself now." The continual cry of "kill yourself" was with Mrs. F. W. day and night, until she feared for her own safety. Anxious to prevent any rash act on her part, she left New York and came to us in Chicago for assistance. During an interview, the spirit of F. W. was allowed to control Mrs. Wickland, and when he found himself sitting beside his wife, he grasped her hand, kissed her wedding ring, and asked if she were angry with him, since she would not answer him when he spoke to her. Then, seizing her in his arms, he kissed her frantically, and crushed her in so powerful an embrace that she could not free herself and call for aid. I explained to the spirit that he was controlling a body not his own and that he had passed out of the physical life. When he at last realized the situation, his regret for having unintentionally annoyed his wife was profound, and he was eager to learn the higher laws in order to understand how he might help her. Mrs. F. W. then returned to New York and experienced no further disturbance. F. W. became a loyal member of the Mercy Band, and in several of many communications since received from him he related the bewilderment of one suddenly finding himself on the spirit side of life without understanding. Experience, November 22, 1920. Spirit, F. W. Psychic, Mrs. Wickland, well, here I am again. I want to come in to tell you that I have not gone. I have to speak through this instrument, But otherwise I am here to help you all do the good work you are doing, and you know I am always here ready to do what I can to help you, and also to help all who are in trouble. I want to thank you for having helped me, otherwise my wife and I would be in trouble, and through my own fault. I would not listen to the great wonders of the life beyond. When I was in my parents' home, my parents were so orthodox, so strong in their belief, that they condemned everyone who did not believe as they did, and they hypnotized themselves with the idea that nothing was right except what they thought. I could not live in that atmosphere and I left home. I was only a boy when I left home, and why did I go? Because the atmosphere was so strongly orthodox that it drove me away. I could not believe as my parents did, and they said if I did not I was a sinner. I was not a sinner and I could not believe as they did, so I ran away from home. I am not sorry that I left, for I learned to know something of the outside world. I had my troubles but I learned from them. I learned the condition outside of the church, and I learned how to battle for myself, but I was bitter, and so hard toward churches that I would not have anything to do with any religion. I had heard so much of it through childhood, and had seen too much of what was going on in the churches. I do not mean that all churches are alike, but you will find that when there is too much orthodoxy the people are hypnotized and feel they are so good that no matter what they do, whether they are right or wrong, they are right, because they cannot do wrong. They are so holy that even the wrong they do is considered right. I traveled and saw the world, but I had a great longing for home. I came home again after I had seen enough of the world and I thought I would remain with my parents. But the same conditions were still there. I wanted to stay at home to do my duty and work, but I could not. I felt as if I were being crushed by orthodoxy, so I went away again. I traveled still further and I had new experiences. I opened my heart and tried to look for the brighter and happier side of life. Later on I met one who loved me, one who made a home for me. That was the first time I felt I really had a home, and it was the first time in my life that I was happy. We had only a few short years of happiness together on earth, but those few years will always be with me. I did not think there was a life after this. I did not believe in anything. I was tired of orthodoxy and everything else. I thought when I died that would be the end, and there would be no more. That was also wrong. Do not let us go to one side of the road or the other, but let us stay in the middle and investigate everything. Find the truth and stay in that narrow path, the path of reason and understanding of God's wonderful manifestations. I passed to the other side of life with the thought that there was nothing after death. I passed on very suddenly. When death came, it was like a sleep. I woke up and saw my dear little wife crying. She was very sad, but I did not realize that the change had taken place. She did not listen to what I said, she did not seem to hear. I called to her and asked what was the trouble, but she did not speak to me. I wondered what was the matter, for we loved each other dearly. I began to grow stronger and I did not want to leave her. I came in direct contact with her and felt that she must come to me and be with me, for we had never been parted. I was attracted to her through her sadness and I felt she must come to me. I did not realize the change, and I knew she wanted to be where I was. So I made up my mind that she was coming to me. Before I knew it, I was in her magnetic aura. I stayed there because I could not get away. I was unhappy, she was unhappy. But I thank God she had an understanding of the life hereafter. She knew the condition I was in and she wanted to free herself from the influence I was throwing on her, so she came to these dear people. Dr. W.S.I. was helped and so was she. We would both have been miserable if she had not understood, for I did not know about the life after this and I did not care. I want to give a warning to all of you here, do not doubt the next life. Someday you will all have to go the same way. Let us investigate, let us know the truth before we pass on to the great beyond so we may go with open eyes and know where we are going with a definite knowledge. If my wife had not had understanding I would have made her take her own life. Then where would we have been? There are many passing from earth life who are in a similar state. They find themselves in somebody's magnetic aura and cannot get out, And then they obsess that person. I wanted to get out of my misery, but I did not know how, and the only way I could think of was that my wife should come to me. When there is an understanding of life, then one cannot be in such a situation as I was when I passed to the spirit side of life. I want to thank you all for helping me. Since I have been helping other unfortunate spirits that cannot see and do not know of the higher life, I am happy. So I am working, and now I can be with my dear wife to help and guide her. Learn all you can of the wonderful life beyond. I wish every one of you here would do your part to spread the truth that there is a life after this and that we must find it. If we do not learn this while in the body, we must do so when we reach the other side. Many, many times we are sorry that we did not look into the truth before we passed out of earth life. I want to say a few words to the two young girls who are about to leave here. One had been a patient, the other her companion. When you leave, keep in your hearts what you have learned. Remember it, and learn more, because you will have to protect yourselves. Learn all you can. Help others in similar trouble and you will help yourself and gain strength. Now that you have found the truth, do not put your light under a bushel. Helping others will strengthen you. You will receive strength and power to keep well, and you will not then be obsessed anymore. Each and every one should be proud to help spread the truth, because there is a wave of obsession going on everywhere. Let us all do our part, and do our work while we are here, gaining all the knowledge of the life beyond that we can. This is FW Goodbye, Experience, January 18, 1922 Spirit, FW. Psychic, Mrs. Wickland, how do you do? Don't you know me? I think you should. This is FW. The time must come when there will be circles of this kind in every little society, every church. Then people will not be taken to the insane asylum, they will be helped. Many of the poor afflicted ones who are in the asylums are controlled by spirits and should be helped, but most persons think they are not worth bothering about. They prefer to send people to the insane asylum and let them stay there. We must not condemn the spirits who are controlling sensitives, because they were not taught regarding the higher life while in the physical, and have no knowledge of it. Many believe that after death they will go straight to heaven and will see God on a throne, and that they will sit and sing, and eat figs, and all that. When I was a boy, my father and mother were very religious. My father professed holiness, and the environment was such that I felt as if I were being pulled to pieces. I could not stand the atmosphere at home. My father and mother were good people, but had such a narrow way of thinking that I felt I was in a cage, so I ran away when I was only a child. I had many struggles and many hardships, but I thank God today that I ran away. I learned many bitter lessons during my life, but I also learned not to be a mere believer, and when I reached the spirit side of life and received an explanation of my changed condition, I was not held back by any orthodox religious doctrine. When I was on earth, I made the best I could of circumstances. But when it came to religion, I did not believe in anything. I felt that death was all and there was nothing more. I would not, and could not, believe as my parents did. I felt God was the life of all things, not an angry God who threatened hell and damnation as the churches taught. I felt there was nothing after this, and that after death all would be ended. I made up my mind to do my best while on earth. I went to church sometimes, I traveled around, saw the world and gained experience which is worth a great deal to me now. After I was married, my wife taught me a little about the other side of life, a more cheerful view than the orthodox one. Still I did not believe. However, there was a little light of understanding. I wanted my wife to promise that if I should die first, she would go too, and if she went first I would follow, but she would not make that promise, because she understood more of the next life than I did. The time came when I had to leave, and very suddenly. I seemed to go into a pleasant sleep of rest, and I woke up, where? It says in the Bible, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. My treasure was my dear little wife, and when I woke up I found myself in her magnetic aura. She would not pay any attention to me, and I wondered what could be the trouble and why she would not talk to me when I spoke to her. I felt queer, And I did not know where I was. Death is only a sleep as natural as that which you have every night on earth.